Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore at the Kenmore team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how's everything going?
Very good.
Well, as always, we appreciate you having us in here. And, boy, it just seems like as things roll along here and we get further and further into the year, it's going to be gone before we know it.
Halloween. We're still working on the decorations.
We're knocking on the door for sure. So this week's topic that we wanted to talk about, I'm just going to jump right into it because there is a lot of things to go over. But we are talking about that period that we call from contract to close and all of the things that can happen from that time period. It is what a lot of people wonder, and I was getting some questions from first-time home buyers. We had a couple questions come in over Facebook. Is people are like, what happens? The first thing we do is they're like, people ask us, why do we need 45 days to close? Why are you writing that in the contract? And so I thought we would just go over what's happening. We have had before people, individuals on the show about each specific part, but I don't think we've ever gone through and just kind of laid it out so you know why now that we have to write deals for at least 45 days to close, why you're seeing that on the contracts, and what can happen. So the first thing that happens is, I mean, really, we get that contract signed and we take that contract over to the escrow company and drop it off. At that time period, they open what's called a preliminary title report. That means they are going to start working on their end, researching if there's any liens against the property, who the true owners are. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but as soon as that happens, as a buyer, the first step that you're going to do is get that inspection ordered. We've talked about inspections, and we've had the home inspectors on the show. Well, generally, we've talked about what the home inspector is looking, what they find, and what happens. But today I just wanted to touch on, okay, great, he finds stuff and there's things going on, but what do we do with that information? What happens then? Well, you are usually required to get that home inspection done in the first 10 days. And okay. So what we have to do is we have to get that done, schedule the home inspector, get him into the house, and then take a look at what comes back on the report. And so when we get that back, now it's like, okay, what do we do with it? Are there going to be minor items on that inspection report? Of course there's going to be. We are also looking for major repairs and then potentially looking at for something the lender might find not agreeable with. So what happens is we have some options. Is if there, say there's minor repairs or some cosmetic items, you know, a rip in vinyl flooring or a leaky faucet or that type of stuff. At that point, you're making a decision, are you going to have the seller repair those items, or are you going to accept them in the condition that they're in? I tell you what happens, you know, a lot of times what we're looking for really is life safety issues.
Yes.
You know, if there are major electrical problems, you know, things that are dangerous, you know, that put people at risk, we're going to want those fixed, of course, right away. But where it gets into a little more negotiating and trying to decide what's best is on some of the minor items or cosmetic items. And I'll tell you what probably the best thing to do with on those items is negotiate a credit for the buyer. Because what happens is, you know, if say there's a rip in linoleum and you want that replaced, well then what if the seller puts back brown linoleum and you wanted white? You know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of negotiation. So a lot of times what you can do is set up a credit to where you're either given a little more closing costs or a credit in some other items so that you can take care of that problem. And the big thing is you can get it fixed the way you want it fixed.
Well, that makes sense because, you know, people are like apples and oranges. They have entirely different tastes. They might like the color, but maybe they wanted hard stone on the floor that's so popular instead of
Well, that's a great point you bring up because, yeah, maybe it would be $500 to replace the linoleum, but maybe they really want tile. So if the seller fixes that, and for another $300, you know, if the buyer paid the difference, they could have gotten the tile that they wanted. So a lot of times, this is one of the best strategies you can use to prevent further problems happening the closer you get to closing. If we can fix it with a credit in the first 10 days and make both parties happy, that helps a lot. Now, I'm going to let Scott jump in here because one thing that has changed over the last couple of years in real estate that's different, and a lot of people get this advice and it's usually not correct, is it used to be that in the old days people would say, oh, well, I want a credit at closing. Give me some cash at closing for that, or give me a separate credit for that repair. I think Scott's going to have a few words to say about that.
How about three? Disclosure, disclosure, disclosure.
Exactly, because the lenders, where they used to allow that to happen, you know, unless it's an increase in your closing costs nowadays, Scott, we usually try to stay away from that from a real estate side.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Guys, that is Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage, and I'm putting him on the spot here with getting money back at closing, which used to happen a few years ago, and I think he's telling us no now.
Yeah, there's a couple things that you want to pay attention to. Some things that used to be done were escrow holdbacks, and people try to get away with some of that stuff, like painting on homes, roofs, earth-to-wood contact. It just depends on what the situation is. And really, those are only accepted due to inclement weather situations, where if it's freezing outside, probably not a good day to be painting.
No.
Those kinds of things. So those are some things, but they have to now be approved before you can even consider those. And what Lance is talking about with potential issues on inspections, the cash to close, going to the buyer, there are disclosure issues that have to be addressed. And so it's a lot easier to say, you know, we're going to go ahead and pay X amount of dollars towards your closing costs because, for instance, on an FHA loan, a seller can pay up to 6% of the purchase price or appraised value, whichever is lower, towards the closing costs and or prepaid items. Usually that will cover about anything that can come up in an inspection situation, and then that just makes the loan close that much smoother. And then, like what Lance is saying, then the buyer is really in control of what they are going to do to fix that repair if it's not required by the appraiser, because those are two different things.
Two very different
things.
If
it's required by the appraiser,
it has to be
remedied and inspected prior to closing. If it's a linoleum versus tile issue, from an appraiser's standpoint, they may look at it as, does the house have flooring? It's a yes or no question. So it's not that big of a deal to an appraiser. But to a buyer negotiating, okay, I don't want the linoleum, I want the color change, but I want the credit, then that's a scenario that they can do after closing. So it's just a simple dollar figure that they can apply towards closing costs to compensate for that.
Great. So that's one of the mistakes to avoid, is thinking that there's going to be cash available after closing in these scenarios.
Yeah, don't assume anything. Definitely check with Lance. Definitely check with myself to make sure that any decisions that you're making aren't going to have a negative impact on a smooth and rapid closing for you.
The other mistake that comes up in this area that we see people doing is not clarifying how the repairs are to be made. It's a simple language, licensed, bonded, professional contractor, licensed electrician making the repairs. A lot of times people will agree to the repairs, and then they are fixed incorrectly. So another mistake to avoid prior to closing is collecting invoices from licensed contractors that the work was done and providing those to you as a buyer, or providing those from the seller to the buyer. The documentation is key, and a lot of times required to make sure that this stuff is done correctly, and that 3 days before closing, we don't have a hiccup because we can't prove that the work was done correctly.
And that's a big deal. That will hold up the closing of a loan if you cannot provide proper documentation that something's been fixed by a licensed and bonded contractor.
So the next thing to avoid happening is that people, as we talked about getting this inspection done in the first 10 days, simultaneously, most offers are now written that you have to have your full loan application done in the first 5 days. So I'm going to turn this back over to Scott again, because a lot of people are like, well, I've been in, I'm pre-approved. But when that contract is written, you are contractually obligated to get to Scott and get him the information he needs and complete that application within 5 days. If you don't, that contract could come back to be voided, and the delays that it costs by you not getting in those first 5 days could come back to haunt you again towards closing.
Mm. Absolutely.
So, Scott, what's the difference from them giving you issuing a pre-approval to then them completing the full loan application that you need in that first 5 days?
Well, pre-approval is obviously something that by definition happens before the real deal, right?
Right.
A pre-qualification, a pre-approval. So you're basically saying, this is what my income is, this is what my credit score is, this is about how much money I think I'm going to have for down payment, and I think this is what my monthly obligations are. Okay, well, based on that information, we can say you kind of fall into this area, but we can't guarantee that it's a loan that you're going to be able to get. So that's a pre-qualification. It takes about, honestly, about 2 to 3 minutes. A approval or a lender approval, which is the world that we work in, is we have a disclosure signed that allows us to run their credit report so that we know exactly what their credit score is, because that can make a big difference. We know what their monthly obligations are. We have pay stubs that show exactly, or W-2s or tax returns that show exactly what income we can use for qualifying. And then we run debt-to-income ratios, we look at the credit, we look at what interest rates are going to be, and then we can calculate their actual payment and let them know how much loan, based on the product they want to use, that income is going to support. So that is an approval that says we have your documentation, we have your signed disclosures. Now literally what we're waiting on is the inspection to be completed, the appraisal to be in, the title to be in to make sure there's no issues there. And the flood certificate and the insurance binder. Then we're drawing documents.
He just skipped through the next like 15 minutes of the show. So let's slow down and go back to what the show's about.
That's the macro view right there. So now we're going to talk about the details
review.
Then we go into the
freestyle program.
You said an important thing. The next thing that we're talking about, the next thing that's going to possibly derail this deal from contract to close, mm-hmm. is getting that appraisal ordered. So now usually we're not even sure if we have a deal until mm-hmm. we get through that 10-day inspection period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because say that inspection blows up, the borrower spent $350, and the inspection blows up, and there's no deal then. So Scott usually has to wait till we say, okay, how is the inspection gone? Are we still in contract? Do we have a deal?
Right.
Now that we do that, we can order the appraisal. Because that appraisal now, that's going to be money that a borrower can't get back because you're hiring a service provider
exactly.
to go do that appraisal.
Exactly.
So we don't want to obligate that borrower to another, you know, $450, $500 until we know we have a deal.
Absolutely.
So, Scott, now here's a thing that's gone crazy, Scott, and here's another reason why instead of 30 days or 26 days or, you know, whatever we were doing 3 years ago.
Oh, you mean what Cobalt's doing now?
Well, you know, we got to speak in generalities here. Not everybody's as good as Cobalt, but let's say to be safe, we're at that 45-day mark, and we're 10 days into it already.
Right.
We only got 35 left.
Right.
Now that we've got a deal and an inspection, mm-hmm. you're going to pull the trigger on that appraisal, right?
Right, absolutely.
And then tell me now, how does that process work with ordering that appraisal? What's different about that process for the majority of folks that has changed, that has added a couple days to our process?
Well, what's changed is what's called HVCC, which is Home Valuation Code of Conduct. And that is something that has been implemented into our industry that says you're not just contacting the appraiser and saying, hey, Joe, we need to get an appraisal ordered out, and this is what the value is in our opinion, and can you have that to us by this afternoon kind of a thing. And now what happens is it goes through a third-party service, and what it's established for is to basically have a consistent policy mm-hmm. in the appraisal process so that it goes out to a rotation, and we have appraisers in that rotation that the assignment is given to, and then they go out so that it's really more of a third impartial person. And then that way we're not having as much interaction with them. The appraisers are having a little bit more freedom to make sure that they have something they can stand on so they don't have lenders browbeating them for value or for any other reasons. And so that's the process. What we've done at Cobalt is we actually, in order to meet the terms of HVCC and establish a consistent policy, we have enlisted the help of HVCC services as our appraisal management company. And so what we do is we work with local appraisers that have knowledge about our local market so that we've got fair valuations coming from the industry there.
That's fabulous. Yeah. I appreciate those steps you've taken because some people haven't. And there's nothing that I mean, I just cringe when I see deals right now. Sometimes because of the way that's done with a third party that doesn't know our local market, and there's companies that haven't taken these steps like Cobalt has, you might end up with an appraiser from Hermiston or an appraiser from Yakima. I'm not joking. These are real life scenarios that I've lived in past deals. I've had more problems with appraisals in the last 4 months than I've had the previous 4 years combined. And there's nothing against those people in Hermiston and Yakima. I think they probably do a great job appraising in Hermiston and Yakima.
Exactly.
Okay. I want somebody that knows the Tri-City market. Call me biased. There might be somebody in Hermiston that thinks they can do a great job here. I'm not saying anything against that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying I want somebody that knows the market. I don't want to go to Hermiston and sell real estate, and I'm not going to. Okay, and so
I got a great story for you. When you're done with that, I got a great story.
And so if I sound like I'm a little fired up about this, it's because I want my clients to get a fair shake with what's going on here. And so what happens is we have to be cognizant of that. We have to be more prepared as agents. Okay, so now we get an appraiser from Hermiston. I'm got to deal the cards I'm dealt. I'm going to play them. And what I've got to do now is I've got to be prepared to help that appraiser the most I can. I've got to be prepared now as your agent to do the job of that appraiser. What I'm going to do, I'm going to have the comps ready. I'm going to help them find the properties they need to comp out your house. I'm bend over backwards to do everything I can that even though we have to deal with that, we're still making it work. Once again, more days, more steps that have been added to the process that we weren't dealing with 6 months ago.
Well, and that's why you have to work with a professional like Lance, because he knows how to talk with appraisers and not have them feel like he's trying to influence them in any direction, but just share professional information about maybe homes that just closed that the appraiser may not know about or other comps that are out there, because the appraisers, some of them, have kind of this feel of, I just need to do my appraisal, and as soon as I've done my appraisal, I deserve to get paid for my appraisal. And the accountability there is a little tough, because we had one, I just got to tell you this quick story. There was one that was assigned to an appraiser in Texas for a Tri-Cities home.
Wow. You are not, that is not true.
And he completely.
That is not true.
It's
are you,
true.
You didn't, you never
it's
even
true.
Told me about
it's
this.
It's true. The appraiser came in $30,000 low and called the Tri-Cities market a declining market.
Stop it. Stop it. I can't even
see. I just need to see how high I can get your blood pressure. But this is
killing
some of the
me.
Stuff
get
that
the
we
paddles.
Are up against, because as a lender, we are not to contact that appraiser per HVCC policies.
We haven't had a break. I'm going to go to break right now.
Lance needs to cool off a little bit, folks. We're having way too much fun
anymore.
Here.
John, take us to break so I can talk to him off air about this, because I don't believe this story.
We get out the paddles, and we'll be right back on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870 KFLD. And after some splashes to the face and clear, Lance is recovered.
Gosh, those stories just get me going, man.
Isn't that
I just
crazy stuff?
Crazy 30, stuff.
30,000
so.
Under, and he's from Texas. I mean, nothing against Texas.
No,
like
nothing
the Longhorns,
against Texas.
But
these are the new issues that we're dealing. That's what we're here talking about today, folks. We're talking about what can happen from contract to close, what may seem like the slam dunk deals.
Mm-hmm.
We're working harder right now. We're working through these regulations. We're working through national things that we're having to deal with. And so we're just more prepared than we've ever been to deal with these issues. We've ramped up to be prepared to deal with these issues. Excuse me. And we're just looking to make it happen, but we want people to be aware of what can happen. So we've talked about the appraisal issues. We're through the appraisal now. We've gotten people educated. We've gotten value. We've sometimes there will be work orders that come on those appraisals. And, you know, especially if we're dealing with an older home that's FHA or VA, we're looking at things like peeling paint, lead-based paint issues that the appraiser's looking for. A lot of things that appraiser is going to make sure has to be fixed prior to releasing a full value. Now, we know what a lot of those hot buttons are. We know what they're looking for. And when we can, we're advising our sellers and our buyers at the time of inspection of what the appraisal might also call out, and trying to get as many of those fixed as we can prior to the appraiser getting to the property. We want to make it as easy as possible for them, and if we know ahead of time from talking to them what needs to be done, we're going to try to rectify that situation before they get there. Because we talked about some of the issues with the appraisal system, but a lot of times the appraisers, they have a difficult job, and a lot of times it's hard. And they're under a lot of pressure, sometimes unnecessarily. For instance, we had an appraisal come back that was a unique property. Sometimes you have smaller house on acreages. There's not a lot of comparables, but those are very valuable properties. We can sell those usually in a couple days. Mm-hmm. Well, when that happens, the appraiser might have to go back for 6 to 8 months instead of 4 months to find a comparable sale to help determine value. And that's difficult because then they get an underwriter, you know, at a national company that says, why did you go back so far, and questions their ability as an appraiser. I mean, there's got to be nothing worse than someone questioning your ability at your job when you've done a competent job.
Well, and geographical restrictions, too. You know, it depends on how far out you had to go to find good comps for, you know, possibly an equestrian piece of property
or a missile silo.
That was awesome.
So anyway, that's just what they're dealing with. We understand they're under pressure, too. We're just trying to work as best as we can within that system.
Well, and another reason to work local. Make sure that you're working local and work with local lenders, local realtors, and having their teams be local folks.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott, we're through the appraisal. We're through the inspection. You've got a package ready to go, and it is you, Scott Ridgway, who makes the decision when to send out the loan docs, right? It's all done.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Did I miss some steps now?
Man, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, there's the button. There they go. Sign one piece of paper, and there's your loan. It's not quite like that anymore.
Okay, so we think we're getting close to the process, but there's still some hiccups that can happen. Scott, now that we have all of that done, what else could possibly derail the deal when it leaves your desk and goes to underwriters that we might need to be concerned about?
Well, a lot of the things that we run into is, and not to pick on self-employed people because they're the backbone of this country, but when you've got a self-employed person, you can use qualifiable income. And a lot of the situations that we run into with self-employed folks is that they take a lot of deductions because of the risks that they have while running companies. And you hear that a lot. Well, how come my W-2 employees can get loans all day long, but I have such a hard time getting a loan? Well, it's because we have to go off of taxable income. So when they go into the underwriters, sometimes the underwriters are going to have a little different opinion of how the income is calculated. Most of the time, they actually find more income, because what we try to do is we try to be conservative so that we're able to say yes a lot more than no. We kind of tried to stretch that a little bit, and now the underwriter's coming back and moving that down so it can change things. So it's really the documentation. It's making sure that we've got all the pages. Of if a bank statement is 4 pages, we've got to have all 4 pages. So it's really, to answer your question, the preparation to make sure that the proper documentation is in the file, and really that comes through experience and having situations come up and remembering those so that they don't happen again. So we've got a ton of experience in our office, and that's really where it comes down to. So it really can be just about anything.
Well, and I can give you a great example of that, because I know some of the things that Scott and them have done, but things that have changed that might be different now that weren't is, say Scott wants to verify somebody's taxable income. He orders, I don't even know the form names, that, do not quote me, this is just an example, hypothetical, it's like a 4502 or
4506.
Something. Okay, 4506.
You're real close there. Yep.
So Scott says, I want to know I want to make the chances of this file going through as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to order a 4506, verify all the income.
Right.
Scott verifies it all, looks it all up, and says, based upon your 4506, this is good. This looks great. The deal's all packaged up. Appraisal's in. Scott sends that off to his underwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple years ago, this might never have happened. But now what could happen is the underwriter might say, you know what? Just to make sure that Scott guy didn't fix this 4506 in Photoshop and they're not manipulating the system, I am going to order – The 4506 again.
Yep, transcripts straight from the IRS.
The underwriter, the final step in approving those documents might say, I'm going to get this straight from the IRS just to make sure nobody's trying to do any funny business. So now people will say, well, gosh, we already had the 4506. We did, but now somebody, the final step of approval, then the final layer of approval will now say, just to make sure everything's above board, we're going to order that 4506. Boom. You could be another week out from documents now. Might have thought you were going to close, and now we're just waiting on that document. We know it's going to be good. We know what it's going to say. But they could request it again. Is that not a real-life example?
It is a very real-life example, and some of the things that Cobalt has done is we order that stuff almost on every file now with the delivery of it to be delivered to those final decision-makers so that we don't have to deal with that kind of a situation.
Exactly. But these are the types of steps that might not have happened, would you say, 2 years ago? That now happens.
It was done mostly on self-employed situations.
Exactly. So we see that it's stuff like this a lot more. So these are some of the things that can happen. We've been talking about what can happen from contract to close and then what we can do to remedy that as best as possible so that we're prepared for those scenarios.
Wow.
We just tell people, don't go buy anything major, don't quit your job, and don't retire without letting us know, because all of those things have happened and derailed.
Right.
Derailed loans.
Folks,
you guys, I've got stories. We've got stories till 2020 to be doing on this show. But I could definitely see somebody thinking that, my loan's already approved. Now I can go buy my car. Well, you're going to have verifications done even at your workplace. Verifications of employment are sometimes even done after closing and prior to shipping of that loan if it's going to an investor. So you need to be aware of there are still things that can derail your entire loan if you're not communicating to your lender and your realtors what your plan is. It's important to know those things.
It's huge. So we're trying to keep these transactions in place. You know, there's over 20 different steps after we write that contract that probably involve about 40 different people.
Wow.
And so it's really a process. You definitely see when you start to dig into it and try to break it down on a 30-minute radio show like this, how many different steps there are and people are involved, and the importance of having a team behind you as you do that. So, Scott, I can't say how much I appreciate you being in the studio today, because a lot of these questions and a lot of these steps come from your side of the coin, and it really is just a lot of communication between the two offices working together. So, Scott, if anybody has any questions about this, if anything might be happening to derail a current deal that they're in, or they just want to talk to you about how to prevent it, where can they get a hold of you?
Well, I appreciate you saying all that, Lance. The best place is Scott Ridgway at Cobalt Mortgage, and my number is 737-6004, or you can visit my website at scottridgway.com.
Folks, from contract to close, we want to make sure you get to the closed part and we're handing you the keys. So these are some of the strategies we can use, some of the things to avoid, and we will be talking to you again next week right here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update
on News Talk 870.